Hello out there in podcast land. Welcome to Full Disclosure. I'm a Full Disclosure rookie, and I apologize for that. My name is Phil Rockwell. I am usually the host of Pop Culture Draft Night. I am here with Ryan Lutens.
Hello, all.
Frequent co-host of Full Disclosure and Flashbacks. We are here to talk about Child's Play 2019. A good place to start, I think, is what does Child's Play mean to you as a horror movie fan?
To me, Child's Play is a collection of films that go from being genuinely completely scary to movies that don't really take themselves seriously, to movies that are in a camp in and of themselves, going back and following a much more strict cult following with the last two films. This new one, which is a remake of the original with its own spin, is something that is very unique to the storytelling that is Child's Play.
Yeah, to me, Child's Play, I felt the same way when I saw Godzilla when the remake came out, where it's so ubiquitous in pop culture, but the actual product has never really connected with me a whole lot. I think those movies feel better on paper than sometimes just watching them. But I think it followed a trend that a lot of those 80s sort of slasher picks followed, where it started off really grim and serious and then slowly molded into more campy, schlocky stuff. And then as horror trended more serious again in the past decade or so, it tried to move back that way. And this is just a starting from scratch, you know, take the initial concept and give it a modern spin and disregard all of the more bizarre entries in this franchise, which there are a few. So I guess just broad strokes, did you enjoy this new look, Child's Play?
Before I jump into what I like, I just want to just do a general overview of what the movie in and itself is. It's a story of a boy by the name of Andy Barclay, who is moved around because his mom is kind of a deadbeat. That'll go with something that I don't really like. She kind of moves from job to job. Says she had Andy when she was younger, which I understand her plight, but she attracts douchebag males, which we'll talk about later. And so to appease her son, who is he is deaf, she gets him a buddy doll from the Kalsen Industries, which is basically like your smart home. Everything is connected through Buddy. Problem with Buddy is that instead of being possessed by a serial killer, he is tampered with by an employee who decides to kill himself when he could have just walked away. Again, something that I could have we'll go into with stuff that I didn't like. From there, Andy and Chucky have a budding friendship, but then Chucky decides to go full Fatal Attraction and start to hurt the things that hurt Andy. And then they take matters in their own hand and decide to defeat Chucky, which they do. And they throw him down a chute for him to be tampered with by the local creep or the super, who in turn fixes Chucky because he is experiencing his glitches. But now he is full psycho. And that's what leads us to the end of the film, which is a battle royale at the new Buddy release. And it's just craziness from there. So the things I like in this movie are definitely, number one, the music. The music had the old feel of the Child's Play movies where it was very playful. Bear McCreadie did a lot of the piano tones on an actual toy piano. So that was really, really cool. I liked the aspect before Chucky is rebooted by the super Gabe, who's kind of a weirdo. Anyway, that's a whole other discussion. Kind of sympathize with Chucky because, you know, you have this worker who tampered with him and he's just trying to struggle and figure out what he is. And it's almost like you sympathize with him. So that was super, super cool and a different element to the story that I was not anticipating. So yeah. That is something I generally like. Another thing that I liked is Andy finds two friends in Pug and Phelan. They're people that live in his building. But once Chucky starts to become more of a problem, he kind of connects with these two people. So in that, through this trauma, he's able to connect with people when he had trouble connecting with people before because he had the opportunity to go talk to them. He just didn't go through with it because he felt too shy. So the storytelling in this was definitely something that stuck out to me because you already did the serial killer vibe. Now let's take it to a technology vibe. Let's technology gone wrong. We live in this era where technology is a problem, or it's beginning to see more people immersed. Well, now let's make it killer. The last thing I really, really want to say is kudos to Mark Hamill. Dude destroyed it as Chucky. He's no Brad Dourif, but Mark Hamill is a force to be reckoned with when it comes to voice talent. And he conveys such emotion when he's just trying to talk to Andy and be his friend to when he's trying to throw it out. So those are the things that I liked.
Yeah, I think the more people put the old Child's Play in the background, the more they're going to enjoy this this new telling, because it's tone is completely different from the original Child's Play. You're right when you say that you do start to sympathize with Chucky because, you know, Chucky's programming is just he wants to be your friend. And all he's doing is really replicating what he sees around him and, you know, doing these things, you know, to make Andy happy. You go from Brad Dourif's, you know, angry, psychotic, you know, yep. voice performance to Hamill's, you know, he does get into, you start to hear his Joker come out towards the end, but for the majority of the film, his Chucky is very sweet and
very subtle.
Yeah, subtle and has this nice, kind voice. And instead of it feeling like they're going to jump out and scare me type movie, it builds this very uncomfortable sort of tension, because you know what is inside Chucky.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're seeing as you're watching, you're just kind of hoping, oh, I hope he just overcomes this bad programming that he's been yep. saddled with,
yeah.
which is not at all what I expected to get. And I think the fact that they didn't show a whole lot of Chucky in the ads, in the ad campaign, speaks to their knowledge that they knew they were doing something different that wouldn't necessarily sell for people who are just know the old Child's Play.
Right. Going along with that is that's another thing that I loved is the ads that they did with this movie. On our chat for the Front Row Network, I make them known because I think these are pieces of marketing genius. But the marketing team behind Child's Play knew that they were coming out the same time as Toy Story 4. And so they did like a pun on all of the Toy Story characters. And I just think that the marketing behind this was the reason why I saw the movie. I mean, you've got Chucky lighting the dinosaur on fire. You've got Buzz being shot with a laser. You've got Woody with his cotton stuffing being pulled out. I mean, some of these things that they came up with were just genius.
Do you think, taken outside of their own sort of just as a work, do you think they led people astray as far as the movie that they were going to see?
In terms of the marketing that we saw?
The tone of those posters, while super clever and fun, I don't know that it matched the tone that people were going to get coming into you know, until the last, however, 30 minutes of
with,
the film.
With what these were doing is, you know, you've got a comedic Chucky, which we know, and you've mm-hmm. got brutal Chucky. And you didn't really see much of this. You hardly saw any of the comedic Chucky at all.
Yeah.
But you did see the brutal Chucky, but that was not until the very end. But yeah.
Yeah, so this movie stuck with me a lot more than I expected it to just in the days that followed. I think just because they, you know, most of the time when horror is remade, especially from that era, it's like they take what was there and then turn things up to 11.
Yeah.
You know, it's more dark, it's more sinister, it's more bloody and gory. I give the creators of this movie credit for finding a different angle and sticking with it.
They didn't make it darker in that regard, but they definitely used my brother compared it to Fatal Attraction, and it is definitely a movie that is like Fatal Attraction. You've got someone who is obsessed with making someone happy because it's his friend. The lengths that thing will go to because its programming, its safety features have been turned off. Mm-hmm. So he glitches and he's just trying to understand and be your friend. And that's what I love about this movie is you sympathize with Chucky. He never did that in the other. He's a serial killer, but here's this sentient being in a doll. And it's just, you sympathize because it doesn't know any better. Mm-hmm. It's just trying to learn.
Yeah. It feels like a terrible breakup movie. And even when you get to the end, you know, Chucky has done all these terrible things, but you also get a sense that Andy feels this profound sense of loss.
Yes.
Because, you know, when Chucky was first with him, they did develop a bond that he had yet to have with, you know, the kids in his neighborhood or in his area. I did not expect to feel the feelings that I had at a child's play movie. Like I was kind of stunned, and the kid who played Andy was great.
Yes.
It's been too long since I've seen the original, but the amount of the film that is from Andy's perspective, I mean, it's the majority of the film,
right?
He carried it perfectly.
Thank God for that.
Yeah. If they hadn't had a good kid, things would have gone off the rails. One thing I did want to raise. So Aubrey Plaza is an actress that I like. I think they made a mistake with her.
Horrible.
There is nothing maternal about her at all. I think if they had just said that was his sister, it all would have played fine.
Absolutely.
It would have made perfect sense. But there was something about making her this kid's mother that the whole time you're just going like, nah.
Yeah. I mean, their biggest attribute is that she had the kid when she was 16, so she's not that grown up yet. It's like, I don't sympathize with that at all. Because as a character, you know, you have someone who's maternal. It just doesn't make sense to me.
No.
Yes, she's young, you know, and yes, she's working, but some of her decisions are very questionable.
Mm-hmm.
As a store clerk, the way she acquires Chucky is she basically steals it.
Blackmails a coworker,
and for her to walk away with it. I mean, you're going to tell your son, "Hey, I got this for free." It boggles my mind. Because she's like, "Oh, there's a new line of Buddy 2 coming out, so I can take this old defective one." And he's like, "No, you know, we need to replace this." And then she blackmails him. I mean, that's just not okay. That's not really motherly, but that's what we got. You know, and the fact that she's dating sleazeball Shane, you know, it's her gratification, not there to be a mother. She's just there to get, you know, to be with someone because maybe she's feeling lonely, but she doesn't take the time to realize that Shane is a douchebag and is married with kids.
Well, and it that it gave Chucky someone to dispatch.
Oh yeah.
Like it's pretty transparent that we have to have this guy, who's awful and we know is awful for Chucky to come after first before he makes the turn towards, well, if I can't have you, nobody can.
Right.
And just indiscriminately starts wiping people out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've already started talking about some stuff that disappoint us. So what are some other things, Phil, that you did not like?
You know, I'm going to be perfectly honest. When I think of the things that I don't like, Aubrey Plaza sticks out, but then there are other things that, you know, that didn't irritate me enough to stick with me. I was on board with them going a different direction. I could see how some people, you know, there aren't a whole lot of like the inventive kills that you might expect from the source material.
Right.
But the last sort of the last big event at that in that department store was just bonkers enough for me to go, oh, we still got something that felt like old school child's play. I think the only thing that I wish they had done more of, and it's a short movie. I think it's
an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's 90 minutes, probably with credits.
Yeah.
Is the idea of all our devices being linked.
Yes, that should have been played much more.
Yeah, they didn't really go for it until they went completely for it in the department store. I thought that could have played, they could have played with that a little bit more. But at the end of the day, I think the movie that they were making was about a relationship between the kid and Chucky. So the technology part, it was a way for them to get what they wanted from that relationship. And they weren't really interested. Like they weren't doing a Black Mirror episode.
Right.
So that just wasn't where their interest was. But especially with the middle third, I thought was a little saggy. I think they could have played up that everything is linked a little bit more than they did.
I agree with you 100% because in that regard, you know, Detective Mike, his mother, gets in a Kelson car. I mean, this is a perfect way for Chucky to really mess with somebody, and all he does is really terrorize her, and then he just does a cheap scare and kills her. Whereas he could make her feel safe, have the doors open, and then have the car run her over. I mean, that's an inventive kill. But they yeah. went the easy way out, and that really perturbed me.
She ends up being like he stabs her, right?
Right. Yep. I see you stab. That's it.
So even though you're what would you call it? Self-driving car.
Yeah, smart
that can
car.
Be controlled by, a smart car being controlled by Chucky. You don't just let that play into the death. I mean, at the end of the day, he could have just jumped out and stabbed her.
Right.
Like from the very start, like all this other play stuff was sort of unnecessary.
It could have been a lot scarier too, where he does it from like behind her seat, like the knife just comes through her from the back. But nope, he had to be standing there and say that I see you and then stab her. Like we don't even see her get stabbed. We see it later on in footage from his backup footage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although to be fair, that scared the crap out of everybody in the theater.
It didn't scare me.
when he popped up. But no, I remain floored at how much I found myself fond of this film days later. Again, they did something different. It's not going to be to everybody's tastes, especially if, you know, they're familiar with the old Child's Play. But damn, if they didn't create this really sort of sweet relationship between this kid and his toy.
Yeah.
and then tear it asunder.
Right. See, now, for me, like, you know, if we're going to talk about things that disappointed me, I could go on, you know, because the one thing that I liked about this movie is that relationship. It really made me feel for Chucky, even through his flaws, and then he gets turned into a killer. That's all great and dandy. But as a horror movie, this movie was very subpar. The gore was not that great. Some of the kills were inventive, but the gore was meh. The big cringe was Gabe when he dropped on the table fall. I was like, ooh. That was probably it for me. I wasn't scared. Very first Child's Play relied heavily on stalking. You never saw Chucky. You saw it from his point of view. And this movie did not have any of that. It really lacked the scares. So to put that with the other Child's Play, I'm kind of like, no, because at least they're very
different movies.
Yeah, very different, which is fine. They set out to make a very different movie, and they did. But if you're still trying to make a horror movie, you have to make it scary and at least give us something in regards to horror. What I was going to say, my biggest thing with this movie is there's two things. One is the design of Chucky. He looks like a ventriloquist doll. There are some moments where you're like, whoa. But when you're going from the live action to the visuals, it was messy. It was very sloppy. Child's Play, even none of the Child's Play that I can think of, all seven from the original, relied on visual effects. This one did, at least for the doll.
Oh, you mean like computer animated
CGI?
Sure.
But my biggest thing is the two adults, their characterization. I'm talking about Karen Barkley and Mike Norris. In the original, they were played by Chris Sheridan as Mike Norris, and Beverly Mitchell from Seventh Heaven played the mom, and she is the quintessential mom. Aubrey Plaza fell flat for me. I really liked Mike Norris. He was very, very good. He was a great character. And then the end happened where he just all of a sudden tackled this boy. Yes, he had experienced loss. His mother died. His mother was the one who was killed in the car. But just to sit there and throw Andy on the ground because you're upset, it's come off being this really cool guy throughout the whole start of the movie, and then you're just going to be a dick all of a sudden. I understand that you're going through loss. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it, but he kind of came back and redeemed himself because he's the one that saved Karen and Andy at the very end. Andy gets the upper hand, thinks he's killed Chucky. He turns his back, and then you see Chucky flying through the air. And Mike shoots him and says the famous line, "Playtime's over." So, you know, that was a great nod to the original. But still, the characterization of the two male-female lead was a real problem for me because they were such strong characters in the original. They were out solving this mystery. These two were not.
Yeah, I think so they never address, or I shouldn't say they never address, they never give you any hint that Norris suspects that this kid might be a little weird.
Right. Not one.
Or threatening. Or, like, it's one thing if, you know, over the course of the film, he's seen stuff, maybe he's seen it incorrectly, but seen stuff that would indicate that Andy is capable of something like that. But they don't do that. He turns on a dime, right, and suspects this kid of
no police work.
Some
all pure,
pretty heinous stuff.
Yeah. All pure emotion.
Yeah. So, I mean, and Brian Tyree Henry, that dude can do no wrong. He was one of the best parts of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
He was Jefferson Davis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's one of those guys we're going to be talking about forever. He's solid in everything.
He had a solid year last year.
Yeah. And it's an imperfect movie. And I may be high on it because I'm just so surprised by some of the choices that they made that I think they deserve credit for. But it's not up there with, even in the past few years, with something like The Witch or even It.
Yeah.
As a horror movie, it's kind of a miss. And even the death of the boyfriend, it seems
rushed,
obligatory. Like, it seemed like, oh, we need to have one of these scenes.
Here's your kill.
So here it is. Yeah, and it just didn't fit with the rest of the film. That being said, I'm a complete hypocrite because at the end, when everything went haywire and there were teddy bears running around biting people. I was like, oh, I'm into this.
Yeah, see,
you might as well go completely insane.
It saves itself for the slaughterhouse at the very end. But, like, you know, you've got this deadbeat boyfriend who is, you know, cheating on his wife and his two kids with this mom and treats their son like crap. So let's make this little villain to give our fatal attraction-esque doll a victim. And that's exactly what it was. You also have Mickey Rooney, who is also another helpless victim because it scratched Andy very helplessly. And that's when you start to see that things go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like storybook. But then when you get to the end and all the mayhem breaks out, that's when you see the genuine, you know, technology gone wrong, which, you know, as much as I didn't like the movie, I liked the allegory that it made for our reliance on technology and how that can bite us in the butt.
Yeah, and I did like there's one scene that I thought was very, very cool, and it was the kids watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Yes,
I think.
Yes, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
And laughing,
yep,
and giggling. And so Chucky goes and gets a knife and starts to replicate what he sees on screen because it's making the kids laugh and bringing them joy. So he thinks, oh, I'll do this too.
And they'll like me even more.
Right, and it's completely logical,
yep,
but so twisted and backwards that it's...
But again, you feel for him. He's doing something,
yeah,
to
exactly
fit in.
Like, right, exactly. You know, so there are scenes like that that I just found were super interesting,
yep,
that I think they... More of that would have been productive and less of like bad boyfriend,
yeah,
stuff.
You know, in the first Child Play, you have the stalking. Well, in this one, let's have the slow burn of him slowly turning. You know, he's got doing things like picking up a knife and trying to emulate Chrome Dome on Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, stabbing a guy, and then
choking the cat,
right? And he just goes and kills a cat and then kills the boyfriend just to make Andy happy. It was rushed, but again, it's hard because, you know, you have these flaws, but they stuck to the idea of loneliness, which Andy was feeling, and it's what Chucky's feeling, and trying to bond into a form of friendship, which, I mean, thank God that theme was there. Then you have the other theme of technology gone wrong. You know, those are two reasons why I really like this movie. But as a horror movie, I'm like, yeah, this sucked.
Yeah, I think it's like it would make a great future podcast note. I think it would make a great double feature to sort of watch the first one and then watch this one.
Well, I watched the first three Child's Play before I saw this one. I watched Child's Play
one, two,
and then three. So I didn't bother with the campy ones or the revitalization ones, which I guess this is a good segue to go into. Let's talk about comparing them. Where do you feel that this one fits? Or does it fit at all? And do you honestly think that they are going to start a fresh reboot?
I don't think you can. Well, Hollywood can do a part two of anything.
They can do whatever they want.
Yeah. Honestly, what I expected, what I kind of expected to see is like Chucky get in the mainframe or something like
that.
At the end of the movie, and I didn't stay till the end of the credits. Maybe they did a teaser or a stinger or something
there
like
wasn't.
That, but there wasn't any, there wasn't.
No.
Okay. So, I mean, there's always a way to bring it back, but I wonder if they were to do that, they have to go full bore into the technology part.
Right.
Because you've already ended the sort of the sweet friendship deteriorating plot line. At that point, you kind of just have to go like full Hal and, you know, have Chucky inside, you know, the mainframe jumping from device to device. And
yeah, that's my exact thought, because you got that, because the finale of the film is this new doll is being released, but there's also like a bear. There's there's also Kelsen drones that are super sharp, and Chucky controls all of it.
Right.
So see a little bit more of that for the future is something that they could definitely do.
Yeah, but I don't think this is the start of a new franchise. And it's in a weird point, because I guess isn't the original creator is also doing a TV show
with Brad Dourif. Yep.
With Brad Dourif.
Donna Manchie.
So like based So this franchise is in a weird place.
Right.
I don't think they need to go anywhere with this one. I think this movie kind of has a nice button on it and speaks for itself. And I think there are ways you can make a sequel, but I don't think it necessarily lends itself to one.
I agree with you 100%. You know, as an homage, this movie, it did have some things that pertained to the old one, but it definitely made its own thing. You know, in the first one, we have Maggie being murdered by Chucky. You don't see him, but he falls out of the window onto a car. They pay homage to that with this worker who gets fired. Now, this is a problem. Another problem I have. Worker gets fired. He's like, all right, I'm going to exact some revenge. I'm going to mess with this one's safety precaution. So he gets rid of everything. But then he just runs and jumps off a building. To me, I'm like, oh, that's a nice homage to or nod to Maggie's death. But why?
Yeah, because, I mean, everything that he does with manipulating the doll and stuff could still have happened without that.
He could have manipulated it and be like, well, see you guys later. I'm out.
Yep.
So, because if that decision really weighed on him enough to make him want to end his life, he literally could have gone and just been like, okay, I'll make these all better again.
Yeah, there's some wonky choices throughout the film.
Yeah. You know, for me, it's I hope they don't make another one. I don't know if it's going to make enough money to warrant another one in that regard. As its own separate movie, yes, it's good in the aspect of the themes that it is trying to bring about, which is the whole how far we're going to go to procure a friend and keep a friend. What is loneliness? Super good themes for this movie. But my thing, but overall, I mean, it's just it's a train wreck. I prefer Brad Dourif all day, every day. But this movie, as a horror movie, was a train wreck.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I guess I wasn't even in horror mode necessarily when I went into it. I do want to say one thing before I forget. You raised it, and I've heard a lot of people raise it about how just weird looking Chucky is. today's toys are weird looking. Like if you Furbies were weird looking. Hey Rory, what were they called? What was the thing that you rubbed and hatched out of the Hatchimals?
Yep.
Hatchimals were weird. So like I guess kids don't realize that things are weird looking. But his look didn't bother me, especially when he's busted. He's not
right,
you know, right. But no, I think I literally heard people saying that was boring as they left the theater. And I think for me, it took so long for it to turn to horror. I wasn't in horror mode. Like I wasn't expecting to be scared. I was more just leaning into this very uncomfortable, like sadness that, you know, that he's a time bomb,
right?
But he's trying so hard to be sweet and be a friend, and it's, you just know it's not going to work
right
out.
See, and, you know, the people that said that they were bored, I can get what they're saying, because I too myself found myself saying, okay, well, let's pick this up. But in the back of my mind, I was like, I was watching the movie on a deeper level in the themes of, you know, isolationism mm-hmm. and loneliness, which is what this kid was feeling. And to find this doll who felt the same way he did, that's huge.
Yeah, so, I mean, there are things like, but yeah, I think what you're saying is correct in that if you are looking for a horror movie, if you're looking to be scared in a way that the old films did originally, you're not going to get that from this remake.
No, I mean, right now the movie, it was made for $10 million, it's made close to $20 million, so... You know, it's doubled, near doubling what it's made, but I just don't know if it's going to pick up any more steam with the juggernauts that we have. You know, the horror movie's got another doll out there right now that's scaring up audiences, and that's from a bigger universe. Of course, we're talking about Annabelle Comes Home. So that's on my radar. You know, and people go to the movies to watch mindless horror or comedy and to be whisked away. They don't necessarily want to think about the themes until they further analyze it. You know, I guess that's the perk of being a big movie lover, is we look at it as a giant whole. So
yeah, it's definitely, I mean, it's going to run up against the Conjuring universe. And then shortly after that, Crawl comes out. There's one I'm forgetting, but yeah,
it's, Toy Story 4 is out there.
And Toy Story 4 is out there. So yeah, it's going to tail off.
The other one you were thinking of is you've got the big juggernaut that's going to blow Annabelle and Child's Play and everything out of the water. I think this summer, Midsummer, that's going to destroy everything.
Yeah. So that's kind of a wrap for me on Child's Play. Is there anything else that you feel we haven't hit that?
I just want to, you know, after all said and done, after Chucky was shot, what I did enjoy, as a final note, was Andy and his friends, his new friends, like his human friends, you know, he actually finds that solace. They take, you know, sledgehammers and bats to Chucky doll. It's a very nice stopping of the story. But then you have, they had to leave it open for a sequel, because then you have a shot of the new Buddy Two Dolls, and their eyes are slowly starting to turn red. So it's like, it's, you know, the tampering is now like a virus. So it's, like you said, maybe we are going to get into the mainframe. Who knows? It's going to be interesting to see what they do from here on out. So just real quick, and we'll wrap it up. Phil, 1 out of 10, where would you rank this bad boy?
1 out of 10? I mean,
10 being good.
Sure. I would put it in the 6.5 area. There's interesting stuff. I don't by any means feel, I don't regret having seen it, but it's not going to set, it didn't set my world on fire.
Yeah. I would have to give this movie a 5. I'm just kind of right in the middle. You know, I enjoyed the themes of the movie, but as a horror movie, I was really hoping for a bit more. Yeah, the gore was great. Probably the best thing that had when it was there. But the kills were just subpar and everything else. But I mean, the tension even wasn't there. Mm-hmm. But you know, I enjoyed it. I was there for it. But you know, could I have waited for Redbox? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I guess to put a pin in it for me is, you know, credit to someone doing a reboot and actually doing it.
Right.
Not a reboot in aesthetics only, like an actual thematic.
Molding it into your own.
Yeah. I mean, not many people do that. Studios reboot stuff that looks exactly like the old stuff, except maybe with $10 million more in budget. And these guys went for something different. So kudos to them.
Yep.
Don't make Aubrey Plaza a mother. Anyone?
It won't work.
No, it
make
does
her the,
not work.
Make her the comedic bad girl.
All right. Well, thanks for chatting, Ryan. Maybe we'll do this again. We got some horror movies down the line.
That'll wrap us up tonight. So thank you. Appreciate it. From here on out, thank you for listening. Don't listen to us. Go check out Child's Play. It's still a decent movie. But for full disclosure, this is Ryan Lutens, and with me is
Phil Rockwell.
Thank you, and enjoy the movie.